You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Hello and welcome to the TFM podcast. It's J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side, Stand Up New York Labs. We're here every Tuesday with your emails, your questions, your stories. Before we get started, let me thank you guys for getting involved with this. We have such an amazing round of emails this week. I think I got like over 50. And they're so awesome. So keep sending those emails, tfmpodcast@gmail.com, tfmpodcast@gmail.com. And keep spreading the word to your friends and family and all your fraternity brothers and your sorority sisters. The feedback's been amazing. I keep getting Snapchats. We'll start with a Snapchat shout out. What's up, Jay, motherfucker? Really dope podcast. And yes, black people actually listen to you. Oh my God, that's scary. I put all my friends on and they like it too. Thanks, buddy. Keep doing that. So shout me out on Snapchat because I need shit and titty pictures in my life. Thanks, man. Oh, he never gave his Snapchat name.
Uh-oh.
That's a disaster, right? Yeah. Hold on.
That's a real nightmare.
That's a nightmare. Yeah, that's... Oh, what's he going to do now? Oh, whoever that is, how do I get... So, okay, listen. I'm on Snapchat. I love Snapchat. I'm going to bring on our guest in a second. If you want a Snapchat shout-out, just email the podcast, tfmpodcast@gmail.com, with your Snapchat name, and I'll shout you out. I don't care about that. But when you send it to me on Snapchat, mine is jtrain56. It disappears, and I don't have the time to be writing and rewriting your Snapchat name. It's a pain in the ass, okay? I'm lazy. Fuck you. Just send an email with the title Snapchat shout-out, and I'll do the best I can, and put your Snapchat name. So that dude, to the black guy, to the one black listener, thank you for spreading the word. Please resend that. Let me introduce our guest today. Very excited to have her here. Kara Klank, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Very funny comedian. You're going to see her tomorrow night on My Crazy Love on Oxygen, which
yes,
all of our audience.
I'm sure you guys all have it.
Like, everyone's a big Oxygen fan that watches
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you just have that's like on all the time in your frat house, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and My Crazy Love is just crazy love stories.
It's like stories about crazy things people did for love.
Awesome. So yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Always fun to be on TV.
Yeah.
So go check out Kara at Kara Klank on Twitter at KaraKlenk. All K's.
Yes.
Okay. You go check her out. She's so funny. Great stand-up. Going to be on My Crazy Love tomorrow night. And I'm pumped to have you here. Thank you.
Thanks for... I'm psyched. Let's
I think
get
you're going to bring the heat on these emails.
I can't wait. Literally, the subject lines are the most intriguing things I've ever heard. I'm so excited
to
hear.
That's all I did was just read through the subject lines. You're like, wait a minute. What is this?
Yeah, it's like, queefs on queefs on queefs.
That's also my other Snapchat name. The one I use, queefs on queefs on queefs.
That's your private
queefs.
One.
Yeah. Guys, keep sending those emails. tfmpodcast@gmail.com. We're here every Tuesday. Keep spreading the word. We do this from Stand Up New York on New York City's Upper West Side, standupny.com. You can use the promo code TFM on their website, standupny.com, and get free tickets to the club. So if you're making a trip to New York City over the holiday season, that's a cool thing to do. Also go on iTunes, give us a rating. Ratings and comments on the iTunes page really helps us out, as I've always said before. And let's get into it. Let's do
yeah,
it. I like this first one. This guy sent me 16-year-old at a strip club. Have you ever been to a strip club?
Yeah, I have one time.
One time?
Yeah, and it's in your hometown. Well,
in Needham?
No, not in Needham. Sorry. I meant Boston.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went to Centerfolds in Boston.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one where Mo Vaughn got caught at? Like, this is way back.
That's
like way back. Okay.
That's some pretty, stripper deep, yeah, yeah, some strip club deep cuts.
So
I'm not sure.
When did you go? What was the occasion?
I was my friend that lives in Boston at the time. She was dating this guy, and
he was a stripper.
No, he didn't drink, and for some reason that was just like something that they would do, is like go to strip. They would go to Centerfolds.
That's the creepiest thing. Like, how do you say, like, listen, I'm not a drinker, but
Yeah.
I have this other thing.
Yeah, like, and but they were friends with all the strippers, which was so crazy. So like, they bring me there. Everybody, like, they clear a table for us because they know my friends. They're like treating us like VIPs. And then they bring me up to introduce me to this butt naked stripper who's on the stage. And I go to shake her hand and she's like, "You actually can't touch me." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to like touch you in a sexual way. I was going to shake your hand." Yeah,
like, I like that you got all formal.
Yeah, I was like, "So nice to meet you, Chelsea." Yeah. Like, I was trying to have this like nice.
Bedazzle. I know. Pleasure. Here's my resume.
Literally, she's squatted down at my eye level so I can like see her fallopian tubes basically. Like,
oh,
she's
God.
Squatting down totally naked in front of me and I'm like, "So great to meet you," like trying to shake her hand and be like, "Be my Facebook friend."
You went so not stripper that it like scared, startled her.
It was my first her. Time. My first and only time.
The last time that she had someone shake her hand was like at the Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
But it's like that was the only other place that someone was so formal.
But the girls were all like so gorgeous at this strip club and like all
what's
like
this big city strip club.
Right, exactly. Because you know? I guess I was like, where are the C-section scars? Yeah, like, I was expecting it to be like, you know, really kind of depressing and gross. And like, all the girls were like super hot. They all looked really happy. I was like, this is not what I...
Big city strip clubs, that's like a different...
Yeah, because I guess they make a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, there is like... And it's also like a hotter girl in that town. Like, I used to go to a strip club outside of Penn State. It was like... Penn State is this like little bubble, and if you drive 15 minutes in any direction, there's nothing.
Right.
So 15 minutes in one direction is a strip club called, like, I think it was called Touchdowns. Like, which is like, oh yeah, we're just gonna put football on the title.
Right.
Because you're gonna get titties and wings and football. You're gonna get to watch Tom Brady while a vagina's in your face.
Oh my God.
So we would go and we would like take a trip, and that was sad. You know, like that was one of those, because you just see like it got to the point where they were good looking, but you knew that they were going above and beyond. They would start doing party tricks. You know, like one woman would like climb up to the top and we'd all just be like, "We don't want to look at her. We're just impressed with her upper body strength." You know, she's really
and the athletic.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then she would slide down and everyone would go, "What?" And then not hit her head. And it was just like, you know, you knew they were doing more than just the regular stripper shit.
Yeah.
Just so you could be like, okay, it was a good, you know, they weren't that hot, but you know.
Right, but like it's
Cirque
also
Cirque du Soleil's pretty good.
Touchdowns was also probably the only game in town. It's like they're kind of stuck there. Yeah, like,
there
you
wasn't
know.
Any other place to go pick up the hot ones to, you know, there wasn't really the thing. But what do you think about girls going with their boyfriends to strip clubs? Like, what'd you think of your friend doing that? Because I know that when guys get like a group of girls to come, it's like, oh, okay, these are cool chicks.
Yeah. I mean, she and him like had a really interesting relationship. Like, their relationship was like weird anyway. I mean, they're not together anymore anyway. So, but like, I don't know. She just, they made friends with everybody there. I think it was like part of them for them also was like the VIP treatment they would get there. Like everybody
nicely.
Knew who they were and like.
But usually the girls, when they get brought to strip clubs, the strippers like treat them really great because they know that like the guys are going to relax and not be assholes.
Right.
Because they want to impress their girls that they're with. So they're going to be like restrained.
Yeah. And also I guess there's like a difference. Like if you just bring your girl there and then you just are watching, like, okay, we're all having a good time and having some drinks. If like if he's getting a lap dance in front of you or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, kind of
we used
takes
to,
it
like,
to another weird level.
We would go with girls, like a sorority girls, and like late at night because it was open till 4 instead of 2.
Right.
So we'd all jump in the car and go, and then girls would come with us, and it would be like fun to like see who would go on stage. They wouldn't get naked. They would just be like, "Ah, this is crazy." You know,
they'll let amateur girls up on stage.
Yeah, they would just let them up, and then we were like, "Oh, this is kind of cool." You know, we're one step away from like amateur night.
Yeah.
You know, like this is great. This is called 16-year-old in a strip club. Hey, Jay fucking Freed. The name is Ryan. I go to a private high school in good old South Carolina, and I promise I have a question at the end of this. This past weekend, while drinking with some of my friends, we decided we wanted to go to the strip club. Halfway there, I realized I would not be able to get in without my ID. My friend came to the rescue, allowing me to use his ID, as he had a fake. You had a fake ID. How did you get that?
Oh my God, my fake ID was given to me by a friend. It was another person's fake ID. She had given it. A fake of a fake. So this was like not even my picture. So I was like impersonating somebody else impersonating a 21-year-old person. Like it was two levels of
it's
idiot.
It's funny the way you rationalize it too. Like I remember I bought like somebody's real ID off of them and I was like, you know, we look alike. And then you just, people be like, you know,
yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he's Asian, but whatever.
Right. Later, I had somebody's real ID. She gave it to me when I was like 20. So I used it for my final, like, you know, home stretch of into 21. And she like had this really weird, like sultry look on her face. So like every time I would go and hand my ID to the, I would like stare off into the distance and like squint my eyes and like pout my lips out so that I looked like this idiot.
Put on a show.
She's like 7 inches shorter than me on the ID too. Like, and look nothing like
me. The key to a fake ID is like not being an idiot.
Yeah, just know the confidence too.
Yeah, confidence, giving it over, not like putting on a strong like face towards it, but also like going to the place that you know is a fake ID place.
Right.
You know, like you don't go to like, you do some research. You don't do it to get it taken away.
Yeah.
And also don't give it to cops or anything. You know?
Right, like, exactly.
Don't be that idiot.
If they have a scanner, back away.
Back far away. You want to go to a place that looks like Touchdowns. It's
right.
A big shed with strippers in it. We arrived and my friend used his fake. I immediately followed with his ID. This caused the bouncer to look up for a minute. He quickly shrugged his shoulders and let me in. Oh man, that's when you finally get in, it's like you literally like...
The guy doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, rebirth. Once inside, we grabbed some brews and hit the stage. It was my first time in a strip club, and my friends bought 2 private dances. He writes in all caps. This is such a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Best 10 minutes of my life. Even better than my first BJ in seventh grade. Good for you, buddy. And anyways, one of these fine ladies was a bona fide MILF. This lady would not get off of me the whole night. Oh, no, he's falling in love. Finally... When she saw me slide my beer over to my friend's seat for the third time as the bartenders made their rounds searching for underage drinkers, she said, "Hold on, hun," in the sexiest voice I've ever heard. She came back with something slimy on her hands, which I found out, much to my dismay, was not lube, but hand sanitizer. Oh, that's the worst part about strip clubs, is the too real moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're thinking, like, it's lube, awesome. And then it's like, no, she just doesn't want to fucking touch you after touching another dude.
Yeah.
You know, she's
trying
got some
not
Purell.
To get, yeah. Ew, wait. So this was a strip club where he was using his fake ID just to get in because it was 18 and up.
It must have been 18
and
up.
So he was just faking the 18 part. Oh, my God. Okay.
She started rubbing off the huge red X on each of my hands.
Oh, that's the Purell.
Oh, stripper want to play.
Dude, stripper MacGyver.
I know.
She knows what Kate takes off marker.
After a minute of hard scrubbing, she reached down. I bet you he was so hard just from the scrubbing on his hand. He was just like, oh, this is too hot
totally.
For me. He's like, after hard scrubbing, she reached down and unzipped my pants. This made my half chub go full hard on. She starts to jack me off in the fucking viewing area. Right in the fucking viewing area. Eventually, one thing led to another, and I fucked this chick without a condom in the private area.
No.
Whoa, dude.
This story just took a turn.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming.
I thought it was going to be like, I busted a nut in public.
Yeah, this turned into him becoming a man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He had his bar mitzvah in this place.
Does this have, like, a baby picture attached to it? His new child that he had with the stripper?
This kid just ruined... all strip club trips for anybody in high school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't. This is not what happened.
Yeah.
This is not. I expected her to be like, get the hell out of here. No, she wants to take advantage of an underage guy.
Oh, my God.
So now, 2 nights later, I'm scared to see if I received an STD from this woman. What do you think, Jared? Should I tell my rents, just get checked on my own, or say fuck it and give a little golf clap between my legs every so often? Thanks for reading, J-Dog. P.S. I side with you on the sweaty beer shower. No chance I am putting anything stronger than Natty near my thunder stick. Oh, I used to say that I would. You should wash your balls with
with beer?
That's from a long time ago. I used to say that if you were going to get a blowjob at a tailgate, like, just wash off a little bit of beer, light beer. It's basically water. P.P.S. Just realized I sent this to some other schmuck who is now probably jacking off to my erotic TFM question. What do you think? Should he get checked out?
Well,
no, I mean, let me give some advice to the listeners here. Use a fucking God.
Well, when you're 16, I guess you don't really carry them around, and you also don't think that that's ever going to fucking happen because it never does.
In his wildest dreams, he just got into the strip club.
Yeah.
Never mind some woman, some person.
Did he pay her for the sex, you think?
I mean, he basically paid her for something. Okay. Here's what I'll say. Go with a buddy. Here's the thing about when you have sex at that age. I like, do you remember the, like, How old were you when you lost your virginity?
When I lost my virginity, I was later. I was like in my early 20s.
Early 20s.
I wasn't like a teen.
But when you were like being sexual as a teen, didn't you like, do you remember like the nerves you had about it?
Yeah.
Like I remember thinking, like, I've said this before, like I remember like being like, I touched her boob, she's definitely fucking pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, like, yeah. I had no idea about anything.
Yeah, it's like, can you get AIDS from a finger? Yeah. Like, it was just like so, yeah, scary. What I would say this kid, well, first of all, you know what's crazy is that when you're 16, you still go to a pediatrician. So, but if you go to private school,
your mom still drives you.
Yeah. But like, if he goes to a private school, then they have a nurse, right? He could just say, he could just go to the nurse and be like, I had unprotected sex. Can you test me?
And yeah.
The school nurse. I don't think they can tell your parents. Or is there not, are there clinics and stuff?
Even if they did tell your parents, listen. Their first assumption isn't, well, he definitely went to a strip club and the stripper right. had sex with him. Like,
yeah.
that wasn't their first thought. They're thinking, okay, like the dad is like, okay, son's getting fucking laid.
Yeah, yeah, it's you about know. Around the time we thought this would happen, probably. Yeah.
The mom's like, I don't know, and then just tries to ignore it. And then you have one uncomfortable dinner.
Yeah.
And those dinners get less uncomfortable as they get away from the memory.
But he said this happened like 2 or 3 days ago. I think you might have to wait a little bit longer to find out if those things have happened. How long does it take those things to incubate on your pee-pee?
I don't know. I would say here's the thing. She is also a human, even though she's a stripper.
Right.
So she has the same fears as you do. If she went no condom, you would assume that she wouldn't just, you know, I don't think she's going around like trying to spread AIDS.
Do you think that this kid, it was his first time?
I think it's one of his first times.
Okay, because if she had an inkling of how young he was, she probably was like, this kid doesn't have anything. He's probably never had sex.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think from her perspective. She's like, oh, he's got nothing. I'm not, like, most people genuinely try to be good people.
Yeah.
In their own rationalization.
Well, my feeling, too, is that, like, I bet you strippers are, like, really cleaner than probably a lot of, like, girls that are just, like, sluts at bars. I don't know.
She used Purell.
Yeah, you know? She did have Purell on hand. Yeah,
so I would say this. Here's the thing. I understand where he's coming from because there is that feeling of like, holy shit. Like you wake up like from a hangover and you're like, I have everything.
Yeah.
You know, like I have herpes, AIDS.
I can already feel a sore forming. Yeah.
You're like, yeah. When really it's just like you have a mosquito bite on your thigh and you're like, there it is. I'm done. So I get where he's coming from. Just go. You could go to with a buddy to a Planned Parenthood or like a clinic.
Yeah.
You know, a free
Any
clinic.
Planned Parenthood or place will check you out.
We'll check you out. Go with that person. And if anything, it gives you peace of mind. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking you have nothing to worry about, but also
just be on the safe side.
From now on, let's just say, let's condom up.
Yeah.
That's a
keep it wrapped up, especially when you're over at touchdowns.
I want that to be a t-shirt on the front. Condom up.
Yeah.
And then on the back, this dick ain't sucking itself. Let's go to a lady in desperate need of your advice, expertise, and insight of the eighth wonder of the world.
Uh-oh.
It's from a lady. A boy's brain, pictures included. Chris, better come out here. Oh, she's cute. Okay. We'll start reading the email. Dear guys, you can send these emails tfmpodcast@gmail.com, tfmpodcast@gmail.com. We're here with Kara Clank. You can go find her on Twitter @KaraClank. She's going to, all K's, going to be on My Crazy Love on Oxygen tomorrow night. Let's see. Photo one, me with cousin. Photo two, left mistress one. Oh, this could be good.
Whoa, what's going on?
She's cute. She's got like a sexy look.
Let me show Kara. I'll be the judge of that.
I don't know how old she is. Hold on.
Yeah, damn it.
Oh
yeah.
She's cute.
Yeah, she's cute.
Oh, there's mistresses.
The right? Okay.
I think that's her on the right.
Yeah. She's got a cute look.
She's got a cute look.
Before I come down and comment, you got to tell me how old they are.
Well, okay.
From now on.
Yeah, from now on, we'll do that.
Yeah, she looks young, though.
She does look young. Okay, here we go. First off, I would like to say that you're going to hate this email because I'm a girl in high school. Oh, fuck. And I'm going to ask you for relationship advice. Okay, she's cute for a high school girl. She'll be a good-looking woman one day.
Yeah, Uncle Jared.
Yeah. So I'm just going to jump right into this fucked up little fairy tale. So here we go. My boyfriend and I have been dating for about 2 years now. If I were to rate him, I'd say he's an 8, 8, 9. Pictures below. So we have a rating system here on the TFM podcast. 8 face, 8 body, 9 personality.
Okay.
So it's like a area
face,
code.
Face, body, personality.
Face, body. Got it's it. An area code method. So she's so Boston would be a 617.
Okay.
From the very start of the relationship, we got really close. And I mean in personal friendship way, not a sex way. He went to an all-boys school across the street from my all-girls school. Oh, man. He stayed in the dorms because he used to like be like white trash and got into trouble at his old school, which landed him in the boarding school. It was like school ties.
Yeah.
Because he was sent there unwillingly. He was really reluctant to make friends. And in a way, I really helped him branch out and start talking to people again. My parents were going through a really fucked up divorce, and he helped me get through that shit too. Oh my God, this is... So I guess what I'm saying, getting at, is that we helped each other a lot. Okay. He was basically my best friend. Because of the divorce, my parents started to get too heated and shit. When my dad went bat fucking crazy, we had to pack and get the fuck out in about a week's time. We ended up about 11 hours from where we used to live where the boyfriend lived. Now we have been doing this long distance bullshit for about a year now.
Oof.
And it sure does fucking blow. She writes, it sure does fucking blow Asian dick.
Not even a fun blow.
I don't even understand. I don't understand the connotation, but I love it. About a month after I moved, he cheated on me with a girl who was literally like a smaller, prettier version of me. Oh, so that was the second picture. See, girls think that that matters.
Yeah.
It's just a chick that will hook up with him. Yeah. You know, like it could have looked like I'm an alien.
Right.
You know, like you're just miles away and something else came
along.
But
I guess it's the way you make yourself feel a little bit better because you're like, he was missing me. So yeah. He found the closest version of me.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think I know from my point of view, I'd be like, oh, I want to fuck her. I want to fuck her. I want to fuck her. I want to fuck
her.
She
like you.
Oh, is that my mom? Fuck. You know, like, you know, like she had tits and you're like, okay, you know, and it was something there. And 11 hours is a long.
That's far, yeah.
Then this school year started and he started at college. It's a big S. So he went off to college. Let me get back to where I was. But all he did was kiss. Okay, so prettier, smaller pictures below. All he did was kiss her, so I don't know if we count that as cheating. Let me know your thoughts on that one. Do you think that's cheating?
I don't know. I don't think that's cheating like you break up necessarily, but I think it's still like apology and like you got to make up for that. Like that's bad. Like
but don't
that's
you
not
think
good.
The relationship is basically ruined? Like when can you ever trust this
yes.
person again?
Yeah.
So like I do agree with you. Like maybe it doesn't end, but you're just on a precipitous decline
exactly.
from there.
Exactly. That's
you know?
Like just, it's a gateway drug. Kissing is a gateway drug to fucking.
That could be a good title for this podcast. I found out about this like 2 months after it happened from one of his friends. So it's like he was hiding.
Oh, he didn't even like come out with it? No.
I still forgave him, stayed with him because he was drunk and people make mistakes. The drunk thing, that too, like, I don't know. I'm just saying from a guy's perspective, you know when you have a girlfriend and you know when you don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't matter whether you're drunk
or not.
You don't
get so drunk that you're like, who?
Yeah.
Like, she just disappears from your mind.
Yeah, my best friend. You know, like, I could spell my name when I'm, you know.
Right.
You don't just forget about that. After this, things were great, I guess. I got to see him a few times over the summer and even came up and visited me for the first time. Then the school year started and he started at college. Big SEC school. He joined a frat. At first, I was happy for him until he started partying nonstop and the whole pledges have to have dates shit really got to me.
Ooh.
Ooh. I eventually told him, look, enjoy your first year of college. Let's not be together for now. He was fucking crushed by this idea. So instead of giving him his freedom, we stayed together.
Man. She wanted to give him his freedom. That's pretty cool of her, though.
A couple months into the semester, I got the opportunity to hitch a ride down to his college from one of my friends. So, of course, I was going. As the weekend we were supposed to be going down approached, our relationship got rocky as fuck. Eventually, I told him that I didn't want to come down anymore. Well, sort of freaked out because I was supposed to be his date to the football game. And he wanted to find didn't want to find another one. That was literally his biggest concern. So feeling guilty about leaving him dateless, I texted one of his friends about helping him find a date. That's when shit went south because his friend told me that he wasn't sure why he was so worried because he could always just ask Brooke. Oh!
Is Brooke the kiss girl?
So I was like, who the hell is Brooke? Long story short, it's a girl he routinely hung out with and got a BJ from. Boy, these friends really fucking dimed him out.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What kind of friends are these? Being like, oh yeah, Brooke. Yeah, she gives him blowjobs all the time. Who's this? Is a girlfriend? What kind of fucking dudes are these?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Do all his friends want to fuck this girl?
I know.
That's what I think. When a guy rats out his friends, that means he wants to
Tim's
fuck
the high school girlfriend. Yeah, yeah, like how often do you have occasion to? That's so weird.
How does she have these guys' numbers?
Yeah.
Listen, if you're a girl out there that's getting information from other guys, those guys giving you information want to fuck you.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing this. No real friend of a guy would ever be like, yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah. He'll just take Brooke. That's such an annoying thing. Well, my natural reaction was, I have to go down and be his date and make him love me again. Oh, that's never going to work.
Don't do that.
Well, this didn't work because he's a pledge and I got to see him about 12 hours out of the 3 days. It sucked ass, but at least I got to see him. And we got to talk about his little, this little Brooke whore. He said he'd never do it again, blah, 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 the usual apology bullshit. But the problem is, I don't believe him because I don't think I'm good enough for him. Oh, come on.
Girl.
Our personalities are perfect for each other. But he's so focused on looks, I never meet his standards in that category. And J-Train and friends, I'm sure you're like, just break up with him. Yeah, you got to break up with him. Well, you see, I would, but I feel like I need him. He's the closest friend I've ever had. And I moved around a lot, so he's really a rock that I lean on. I'm planning on being that girlfriend that follows her boyfriend to college because I'm an absolute idiot. But I really have no... I'm really glad you're on this podcast,
yeah,
Kara, because I think you can
talk.
Help her out. He talks about like our life after college and shit. He seems like he really wants to be with me, but his actions say otherwise. So I guess I'm asking, what should I do with this whole situation? Please let me know your thoughts and would really, really appreciate it. Love the podcast. Listen.
What's her name? Are you not supposed to say?
I think I can. She doesn't say Nazi, but let's call her
like whatever, Christina or something.
Whatever. Give her whatever name. But let me tell this girl. She's good looking. I don't know what she's talking about.
What are you like?
She seems cool too, by the way.
Yeah, and she's got a cool.
Yeah, the style that you're in which you're writing, you seem like a cool ass chick. And I'm not trying to say this guy's like a dirty dog because honestly, that's just the shit that happens when your boyfriend goes to high school and goes to college and you're still in high school. Like,
yeah.
I think I'm always pro. You got to break up. You got to break up if it's like
writing's on the wall.
Yeah, I'm that whole. If you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it was meant to be. Like, you can get back together. Like, you can get back together. A few years, stay in touch, be friends if you can, or just kind of like, you know, take a little break, which I know could be hard because he's been your like emotional rock or whatever, but he's just gonna keep hurting you with this stuff. He's just gonna keep doing stuff. I mean, it's already gone kiss to BJ. If you're kidding yourself if you think he hasn't fucked a couple of these girls.
Yeah.
Like with college, it's just not.
Here's the thing. She knows she's making this. She keeps saying, I know I'm stupid for doing this. I know I'm dumb for doing this. Stop downing yourself. You're not dumb. This is what, and I know this is from a high school, but this relates to a lot of like girls have this thing where they'll date someone for the story and not really the reality.
Yeah, or just to say I have a boyfriend.
Just to say it.
Not feel alone. Like, you're better than this relationship. Maybe you're not. This guy, you could be saying back to me, no, this guy's so awesome, but you're better than what is actually happening in this relationship right now, and you can find someone else.
And here's what he's doing. You offer, and I've done this to girls in my past, and you know, you don't feel good about it, but you're like, there are people that you go to that can, like girlfriends or people you date that you keep up with because they service your ego a little bit. You know, where it's like, oh, you know, you're the one sending him texts when he's alone. You're the one sending, being someone he can talk to.
Right.
You're giving him an emotional crutch that these other girls don't offer because there's no guarantee that they'll be around. You're a guaranteed girl to boost him up.
Mm-hmm.
Just by virtue of being the girl that keeps texting him and keeps in touch and wants to go to his college and wants to be a life with him afterwards and says nice things to him. All those things you're doing are things guys do and I've done, and you know, I'm sure you've been in relationships where you're like, why am I still talking to this person in spite of all these things? And why is he still talking to me? It's because he gets lonely too.
Right.
And you're a guarantee of propping him up emotionally. Whereas when his actions don't, you know, he's, you know, so then when he goes out, he can just go out and do whatever he wants.
Well, a lot of guys have a problem with object permanence, right? It's like...
Explain that.
Object permanence is like when you're a baby and you... When someone's a baby and you go to a baby, you cover your face and you go, peekaboo, that baby doesn't understand that you haven't disappeared. Like, they don't understand that you're still right there because that's object permanence. You have to, like, learn that. So a lot of guys, when they go to college and their girlfriend's back home, they, like, forget she exists.
Yeah.
Because they, like, haven't learned object permanence, like, enough. Like, they're just like... Oh, I have a girlfriend. She's not right here. So what do you mean I have a girlfriend? You know, like, and I've seen a lot of people that have done long distance suffer from that because I don't know. That's
because
just
you just
like,
believe in this thing that you believe. And here's the thing with long distance is you see each other for such a short amount of time that you have the perfect time together.
Right. So and it's always a honeymoon. Like,
always.
Because you're like, well, let's not fight. We only have these 2 days together.
Totally.
It's like, I never feel like when people, someone tells me, we've been together 4 years, like 3.5 of them have been long distance. I'm like, that's not.
Yeah, you've spent
you've
a half a year.
You've been on a honeymoon. Yeah. You go on vacations together. Like, that's
life is a vacation at that point. Also, a telltale sign, and I'll tell you right now, this is going to be the most damning thing that I read in this email, and this is actually from expertise, is when you create this fight ahead of someone coming to visit. So like I've done that where you just create this instance to get out of, you know, this uncomfortable time you're gonna have to have together. Maybe he knows that Brooke girl is gonna be there and he's like, oh shit, I gotta get myself out of this the easiest way possible. And he's like, you know what, I'll ruffle feathers at home because that's a fight I can handle away from at school where I have to live now.
And, you know, not any decision you make on this thing has to be like all or nothing.
Totally.
Try not dating for like 6 months and see what happens. If you can't fucking live without this guy, then you guys talk again. I'm really shocked. Aren't you shocked that the guy was like, no, we have to stay together?
But that's what I'm talking about. He's afraid of losing the guarantee.
Yeah.
You know, like...
But the guarantee's 11 hours away.
I agree. But you know what? He's being selfish.
Yeah.
He's going out at night, putting it out there, trying to hook up like a guy should, a single guy should. And then if it doesn't work out, he's like, well, I'm still a good dude. I can sex with my girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, and that's probably another part of it is like he doesn't want some guys, I think, have like a complex about appearing like a nice guy.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You like, I don't want anyone to think that I broke up with you because I went to college. So even if you suggest us taking a break, I'm going to still say, no, let's stay together.
That is very true.
Just so everyone like thinks I'm the stand up guy.
And
I don't
you want to believe that you could tell yourself you're a stand up guy. You know,
but you're a stand up guy who's getting BJs from Brooke.
Yeah,
you know?
And the other thing is right now she feels bad about herself because she keeps dealing with someone that's not giving her back what she's giving to him. And that can feel like, oh, I must be not good enough looks wise. No, good looking.
No, fuck all that.
Fuck
you're
all
hot
that. That's
and
bullshit.
That's bullshit. Honestly, I can't with that.
Hopefully this works out. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending these emails. That was a really good email. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Potential cum dumpsters.
Oh, wow. I can't wait.
We're here with Kara Clank.
That's a prestigious title.
Yeah,
Thank you for reading the subject and then being like, we're here with Kara Clank. So I want someone to be able to clip that out of the podcast on its own. Like, I want that could be one of my new credits.
Potential cum dumpsters with Kara Clank.
Yes.
Let's do this one. Now I kind of want to move on from that one. Best Tinder bio. Oh, he just sent his Tinder... His Tinder bio.
What is it? Let's hear what the best Tinder bio is, bro.
Height 6'2", penis size average. That's pretty funny. Good job, buddy. Okay, we'll go to potential come to. I think it's another high school. I don't want to get our college town sucks. Help us. Sup, J Train? Now you went to college.
Yeah, and I went to college in not that great of a town.
We were kind of.
I went to
about
Trinity
this,
College in Hartford, Connecticut.
And Hartford, you know, has its moments, but
dangerous.
It also there's some.
Yeah,
I've been there a bunch of times. Sup, J Train? Not making some stupid nickname, but I love your podcast, and even got all seven of my housemates to listen with me every Tuesday morning, and everyone enjoys it. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that, guys. Keep sending the word around. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Send those emails and go on iTunes and rate us and tell your friends. We're going to keep this growing. We're here with Kara Clank at Kara Clank on Twitter. Go check her out. Funny comic. I go to a D3 school in New Jersey. He writes Rowan University. If you want to say the name, I really don't care. And our town sucks. The cops suck. The townies suck. I wish he would write the brochure for Rowan University. Just like, Rowan University. The town sucks. The cops suck. The townies suck. This used to be this little school in South New Jersey, aka Farmland in Hickville. And now it's the university trying to make it big. We've increased our size to around 15,000. I didn't know that. 15,000 undergrads and grad students combined. Yeah, I thought it was a small school too. We have a hotel on campus and are building new housing and education buildings every year. I love the school, I really do, but the town sucks. Greek life cannot display letters, even though I am not in Greek life. Long story. Parking sucks. This guy is writing the worst brochure.
Are you sure this isn't like a 95-year-old like guy who lives in the town of this university?
Retired there. He's like, there's no Applebee's. Parking sucks. Way too many people have cars and we can't even park in the residential streets overnight. You have to be in a driveway, not even on the grass. I live off campus and the cops are so bad. They will bust a party if they see anyone walking up to houses in large quantities. And there are a lot of parties, but they all get busted so quickly. Then those houses do not want to throw anymore. Townies suck. They're everywhere. They're leaving quicker now, but they call the cops over the stupidest shit. Story, had a party over the summer, Saturday afternoon, slip and slide in our backyard, maybe 50 people, and 15 of us on the slip and slide. Two houses away, calls the cops at 4 p.m. because we were too loud. On a Saturday, on a fucking Saturday, we can't have people anymore because of this. How do the students take over the town at a big schools like WVU? Any ideas of what we can do? Huh.
Oh, that's so funny. I just spent the entire weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, in Morgantown.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That place is cray cray.
Yeah.
Grain alcohol.
It's crazy. They're lighting couches on fire for any reason.
You're never going to be WVU. I went to Penn State, and Penn State's a big party school, and we heard stories about West Virginia, and they call it the Wild West. So don't try and compare your time to what those fucking animals are doing. What do you think? I mean, what did you guys do? You went to Trinity is a smaller college.
Trinity's a smaller school. It's sort of like off on its own. Nobody gives a shit about noise because it's a city. But but here's the thing. Your school's in like a transitioning phase. Like those schools, Penn State's been big for a long time.
Totally.
WVU's about to make a jump from like 30K, I think, to 40K. Like really? In the next few years, they've pledged to like increase their enrollment by that much. So like those school, like, I don't know. I just feel like those towns have been, maybe it's probably just like, you're there at a time where it's transitioning. Maybe in like 10 years, it's going to be like the town gives up and neighbors don't call the cops anymore. I don't know.
It's like they'll figure out that this is where 15,000
kids live. But it's also like, dude, it's so easy the rest of your life to drink and party. Like after you're 21 or 22 and you're out of college, it's so easy. The times that you're dodging the cops and like using fakes to get into bars and stuff, that's the fun time. That's when it's challenging.
I mean, that is a good point. Maybe you use that to your advantage. Like there is fun in having, you know, this runaround.
You had to kind of like dodge obstacles, you know?
Yeah, well, I remember my buddies and I went to, we were in high school and went to a Red Sox game, and we were going to go to a day Red Sox game. So we were like, where the fuck are we going to drink, you know, before we go and heckle people at a Red Sox game? So we just drove around town with my buddy. Was like, I won't drink, I'll drive.
And you guys,
and
just
we just were slamming beers in the car. And we acted like we were belaying him. Like we were like, okay, he's like, I'll take care of you now. Then we'll park the car. Then on the train, I'll have all the liquor and I'll booze
up. Yeah, it's like get creative.
Yeah, we always talk about that day because we was like, what were we doing? Just driving around slamming beers. And then we had our buddy like, okay, chug now before we get on the tee. You know, like, so I think you have to like revel in, you're right. Look at the bright side. This is the fun part. Also, create some hangouts that involve dodging cops.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a silent party. Does that sound like
a
fun?
Sign language party.
Yeah, sign language party, or like a silent, like you keep no music, and the rule is anytime someone makes a noise, everyone has to drink.
Yeah.
You know, like, 'cause you like play with that, play with your surroundings is what I'm saying. So like speakeasy party.
Yeah.
You know, play with that. You know, you right now you live in an era of prohibition.
Yeah.
play with that.
Fine, have fun. Look at the 20s. They were the most awesome time to be around, and you weren't even allowed to drink.
Make some, what's it called? What do they call that when someone makes their own?
Moonshine?
Moonshine.
Yeah.
Have a party that involves the thought.
Toilet wine.
Toilet wine, yes.
People get drunk in jail, man.
Yeah, you can figure this out. I think you could play off that. And here's what girls like. They like going to a creative party like that.
Yeah.
You know, you would like, you were like, oh, we're going to all dress up in 20s attire.
Yeah, that'd
be cool.
You
can only show up if you know the knock on the door. You can, you know, like, you got to play with that. And girls respect that type of creativity. And maybe keep it to 10 dudes, 10 chicks.
Yeah,
and
that's where you go before the bar. Gatherings. That's hard, too. But also, like, what do you think about... I don't know. What do you think about dealing with cops? Like, can you try to like be nicer to the cops and maybe try to like?
I think
you could also go up to neighbors and be like, "Hey, we're having a few people over today. If it gets loud, could you give us a call and we'll try to quiet it down?" Like sometimes you gotta kiss ass with your neighbors a little.
I'll tell this story. I used to I was the tailgate czar for my fraternity at Penn State, and I would set a buddy of mine and I would set up the fraternity tailgates. I've probably talked about this on the podcast before, and we would prepare the food, get the booze. So we'd get like a pallet of beer, and then we get a pallet of beer, then we get like a case of alcohol, of vodka and stuff, mixers, foods, beers, burgers, all that stuff. And we knew that like by the end of the day, mayhem would ensue. You know, like you knew you were preparing a party for 500 people to show up to this lot D25 that people still go to. And we would prepare it, and when we would get there, it would be like 7 a.m., so there were no cars there yet. So what I would do is I would go up to like the place, as cars would pull up and park next to us, I would come up to them and say, listen, I'm inviting, you see all that beer over there?
Yeah.
You see that
we're
party?
We're going to drink it.
We're going to drink it, and we're going to be animals.
Yeah.
And I want to let you know what's going to happen, and I'd encourage you to move somewhere else if this is gonna bother your day. And they were like, they were one of two things, really fucking appreciative and got in their car and drove somewhere else, or they were really fucking appreciative and they stayed and partied with us.
They were like, good to know.
Good to know.
We're alcoholics.
Yeah, they would join us, and I'd always say to them, like, listen, all the beer you want, all the beer, you know, so I think that attitude, the attitude you have in your email is, this place sucks, the cops suck, fuck them. It's always easier to be nice than mean. So in life and anything.
It gets you farther.
So if you said, you know, you have another day party, if you go to your neighbors, like, listen, you know, we're college kids. We're going to be doing a day party. Please let us know if we're too loud. Like, set yourself up for success. It's there's a saying in sales, under promise, over deliver.
Yeah.
And it's kind of on that note where you have to under-promise them the worst day of their lives. Like, listen, this is what we're planning on doing. We don't want to bother you, but it's going to be bad. We're going to be maybe loud. Like, let them, prepare them like this is going to be the worst day ever. And if they look at you and say, well, don't do that. We don't want to fucking deal with it. Or they'll say, okay, we'll make sure to stay away. Just don't fuck up our place. And you can, like,
it's a courtesy. They can't say you can't do it.
Yeah.
It's a courtesy that you go over.
And they'll be appreciative that you acted like mature adults and you didn't act like kids who were saying, well, fuck you. We're going to drink. It's college.
Right.
You guys should know. Yeah, well, they should know. You should know that they have kids that want to go to play outside and not watch you puke in their yard.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way street. So I think...
What about the parking, Jared? You know, what about the parking?
I'll work on the parking. But I think those are two pieces of good advice.
We're drawing up some sketches.
Yeah.
We're going to present to your parking council.
Yes, definitely. But play with the surroundings. Be creative. Chicks dig that. Also, go to these places and just be up front and let them know that you're looking to party. This is from a lady. Dear J-Babe. We're going to do one more email.
Dear what?
J-Babe. People give me different J nicknames also. We're going to do one more email, then we'll go to the news. tfmpodcast@gmail.com. We're here every Tuesday. Keep spreading the word. I love the feedback. I am on Twitter, JTrain56. Snapchat, JTrain56. Instagram, Jared Freed. FREID. We're here with Kara Clank at Kara Clank at KaraKlenk. Go follow her, go support her. Great comic. She's going to be on My Crazy Love on Oxygen tomorrow night. Let's do this one. It's called Cuddle Season Catastrophe.
Uh oh.
I emailed you for some Tinder advice a few weeks ago, and it was great. So I wanted your thoughts on something a little more serious. Okay.
Ooh.
Basically, I've been, and she puts in quote, friends with this guy for 5 years. Uh-oh. We met on the first day of university and have been inseparable ever since. Well, you know, until graduation. I say friends, and she puts in quotes again, and that comes off with the predictable qualifier. We attended classes, parties, brunches, and each other's bedrooms together for 4 years. The sex was on and off, but the hangouts were constant. To keep a long story short enough, we were being completely dishonest. When I told him I wanted a relationship, he said he wasn't ready for one, which really meant I'm not ready for a relationship with you, and I never will be. Lesson learned. She's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. He lives in another city now and is coming home for the holidays. I need to know how I should play this. We still talk often and have plans to see each other, but realizing this has changed a lot for me. I've kept this email light and simple, but we're very close, and the void will be huge. I don't want to ghost someone I've shared so much with for so long, but I also don't know how much of an explanation I owe him. I attached a picture because I heard you will like white dresses and Chris should stretch his legs. Happy Hanukkah to you.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, she's in white? Oh, she's hot.
Here, Let's see.
Chris is getting out of the booth. This is not a high school student, so
oh, yeah.
We can be a little more free with our words. The one in white?
I say...
Oh, yeah. Very cute.
You don't think so?
No, she is. I was going to get right into the answer. Oh, is that the end of the email?
That's the end of the email. I'm still checking out... That girl on the right looks like someone I know.
<Uh-oh>.
Oh, no.
It is high school girls.
Cousin Lisa, no. Oh man, she's got like a Zoe Deschanel,
yeah, with the bangs
type of look going. Okay, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, I've heard this story a million times. This is
Beauty and the Beast.
Listen,
a tale as old as time.
Yeah, if you can, like, you know, not to reference Sex and the City, but to reference Sex and the City,
please
do. If you can, like, Samantha this shit and just, like, go and hook up with him over Christmas break or whatever break it is, then and you can be unemotional about it, go for it. Like,
she sounds pretty
cool,
heavy about it.
But it sounds like that's not how you feel. So I'd say hang out with him and, yeah, just don't drink too much and don't hook up because, and you don't owe him an explanation. Like,
no.
Does that mean, like, he's going to be like, why not? Why can't we, like, hook up?
Yeah, the explanation has already been given.
Yeah.
By, you said I want a relationship, he said I don't. And that's the explanation.
Yeah.
So, I think girls have, and you can disagree with me if you'd like, I think they have this idea, girls can't understand that guys can separate the physical from the mental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I really can spill my seed to like an array of girls that would be baffling.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd look at a lineup of chicks I've hooked up with and you'd be like, wait a minute, what the fuck is the UN doing here?
Right.
You know, like, I don't know. How did these, you would look at a lineup of women I've hooked up with and be like, these four women have something in common. They don't even look like they speak the same language. And it's like, and then you'd find out that they all had hooked up with me and you'd be like, what's wrong with you, Jared? And it's like, nothing is wrong. It's just, well, maybe something's wrong, but I'm saying, like, there is this thing in guys where, and I know there are some girls out there who can do this and they have an attitude about it, but there is something to guys where I can be like, you know what? I fucked her and I don't know, you know?
And like, I think there are some guys that are like, yes, being in a relationship is better for me. Like, I like being in a relationship more than I like not being in one. But I would say that that's more of a girl thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And...
But I'm saying, like, this girl, like, she's saying, how can you keep talking to me and have this deep relationship with me?
Yeah.
How could you have hooked up with me and said that you've attracted to
me? Like,
and not... You have it all.
Yeah.
That's her point.
Like, it's like what you see in movies, too, though. You're like, they have the most fun. Look at all the inside jokes they have.
Yeah.
How does he not see how great they are together? And it's like, I don't know. He's probably too busy thinking of, like, all the chicks he could be fucking, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's distracting.
I think, well, you know, we live in a time and an age where we live longer than ever. And you're saying, holy shit, am I gonna, like, you know, there's other things that work in. You know, you're out of college, it sounds like, right? They went
Are
to
they
college.
Out?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 they finished.
They're both working. Guys worry a lot, and I've had this fear where it's like, you know what? I got to support myself before I can bring someone else into my fucking mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to have, you know, I grew up in America where there was a head of household who brought home the, you know,
yeah,
the bacon, so to speak. You know, this all sounds funny and stupid.
Right.
But that weighs heavily on guys. You're taught as a young man that if you don't provide, then you're a loser.
Yeah.
So if he's out there trying to make a name for himself in whatever industry he's doing, or maybe he's confused about that, that can be something that you're like, how could I bring someone into this?
Yeah, he could also just have like a ton of other priorities. Work is his priority right now. Yeah. It's not necessarily just like, oh, I want to hook up with a bunch of other chicks. It's just like a relationship is hard work. And yeah, some people don't have time for it.
Yeah,
you know?
And I'll say this. You can hook up with him over the holidays. Go for it. Like, I'm not I'm very pro women. Just go fuck and do whatever you want to do. It will not get him back.
And you're going to be sad, probably.
Yeah. So I will say the best thing you can do is make yourself unattainable to him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, go there, show how fucking much you're kicking ass.
Yeah.
How hot you look. How, you know, like what he missed out on, but still hang out and talk and have your old inside jokes or whatever that you guys have always had.
Be cool. Don't be available for him because that's what guys want. They want the chick they can't get. And I know you guys have already hooked up, but you can reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
As the girl, you know, listen, the train's left the station. I'm out there looking for new boyfriends. Listen, I like you. I like things about you, but I'm going to use those. And I've said this before. If a relationship ends and one that you're struggling over, take the things you liked about that person use them to judge the next person. That's called having taste. That's called having, you know, things that you like in a person. And that's okay to like, you know, A, B, and C about dude one.
But then be able to like realize the red flags from dude one and recognize them when they're coming up in dude two.
Totally. And it makes you a better dater and a better, there will be other people. I've said this. I don't believe in soulmates. Okay.
Yeah.
You can make it work out with a lot of different people. It's just more about finding that fit. And a part of finding that fit is molding your taste into what, you know, you like. Nobody has a taste when they come out of the womb.
Yeah.
You know? So I think the best advice is, it's tough for me to say, hook up with them if you want, and you can, I think we're saying the same thing, right?
Right.
But if you can separate the emotion from it, but if you're looking to say to him, you know what, if what is here, I'm going to move on because you've already said no.
You guys live in separate cities now. It's like, I don't know. I just think those Christmas special hookups are like, they're just like, you know, drunken, forgettable. Oh, I was home. What happens when you're home? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just, I don't know. And you're hot. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Wear that white dress.
What are all these girls listening to this podcast that are like, maybe I'm not cute enough for him?
I think the thing is, there is a culture of hooking up right now that, you know, you're playing in this game where it's like, I just want to go out and, like, guys are going out and trying to hook up with a lot of chicks and you want to tell your war stories, and you know that makes a girl feel bad. I can understand that, but you know, I think girls could play in that world, you know, like you can say, well, fuck him.
Yeah,
there's gonna be another dude. And you know, every one of my friends that are now married are in long relationships, it was always tough for them until it wasn't.
Yeah,
you know, like there was a moment where you're like, oh, they've been together for 2 years, and it's like, yeah, it was pretty easy. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, and for all you know, like in 5 years, when this guy's like ready to settle down, maybe he's going to be like, wow, I never met a girl like whatever, Stacy, whatever your name is. Like, she was always my, you know, high level. And maybe you guys will get together. You never fucking know, but you're not going to make him ready before he's ready.
You got to show strength, though. Yeah. That's, I think, what we're both saying is be cool, but not that fucking cool. Like, don't look at him and be like, listen, I'm just here for blowjobs.
Yeah,
and
then don't be like, blowjob cool.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be be like, how's your Tinder profile cool? Not let me suck your dick. You know, like that's too cool.
Like I'll do a shot of Fireball cool.
I have to read this email real quick because it's so ridiculous. This is the one that was potential cum dumpsters. I have to read this. This is a special TFM podcast treat, and then we'll go to the news. What's up, Anne Frank?
Good start.
I
Dude, we are kind of in an attic right now.
Yeah, it's a little It's a little Anne Frankie in here. I just love the fact that the title is Potential Cum Dumpsters in all caps. This dude is literally raping me with an email. He writes, "What's up, Anne Frank? Hold on to your Jewmaker, because this email is menorah candle extinguishing." Fucking amazing. I hope he's 13 years old. First off, the podcast is absolutely orgasmic. Keep up the good jerk. And then he puts in parentheses, instead of work. Anyways, I'm a senior in high school, and here's my exponentially
of course you are.
Unpleasant, unfortunate predicament. I'm still sitting here holding onto my V card on a day-to-day basis as if it's a fucking six-figure career. But too fuckity bad, but too fuckity bad it's not.
He's making up new words.
Yo, this guy is on fire. Oh my God, I need someone to write for me. In other words, this squirt gun in my pants is ready to evolve into a fucking AK-40 semen. Yo, I don't know if this guy is fake, but he is killing it. Because it's been pussy season since I came out of the womb, and I still haven't gotten any of my crosshairs. Oh, this is the cockiest virgin I've ever met in my entire life. I consider myself mentally disabled, for I could have lost it to this very non-secretive whore freshman year. She was a 760. The zero because she wouldn't leave me the fuck alone. At one point, she asked me if I was gay because I wouldn't want to fuck her. But my mentality was there is much more and much better quality pussy among this learning institution I have in front of me. This happens, actually. I know he's ridiculous, but you do the like, nah, I'm gonna fuck for the rest of my life in high school. I don't need this chick. And then you're like, wait a minute.
Nobody's fucking
no me. One's gonna fuck me. Too bad that's not the case at all. Recently, one of my close friends finally tore up his long overdue V-card while fucking this broad at a park, like where little kids play. She's a 5'7.56. Anyway, because of this incident, all I could think of is how I need to get fucking laid before the end of this school year. Oh my God, this is the plot to American Pie.
I know.
everyone
so I made a pact with a bunch of my friends.
I went and talked to J-Train on his podcast. Yeah, I have a book hidden in the library. No one gets these references. He's like, what's American Pie? Go.
Do you think that's true that they really don't know?
If you don't know what American Pie is, you're a fucking idiot, because it's one of the top. Someone asked me my favorite, funniest movies of all time, and I'm not a movie buff. Like, I like really bad movies, but I remember when American Pie came out, that was the funniest thing in the world. Yeah. Like, that movie had the theater dying. So if you haven't watched it, go find it at your local Blockbuster.
That's one is really funny.
That's where MILF came from.
Yeah. That's where MILF came from. Stifler's mom, Stifler, you know.
Yeah.
What's that show that was on? The people love it, the Reed TFM. Blue Water State. Is that what it's called?
No, Blue Mountain State.
Blue Mountain State is a TV show that has this like cult following of amongst dudes. It was on like ABC Family or some shit.
Okay.
Spike TV or something. And that whole show is based off of the Stifler character.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, so we have a lot of good-looking 777s and above at our school. Even some of the girls with four-rated faces have great bodies. And this is amongst all grades. One mighty problem of all those broads want to have lovey-dovey relationships where I would actually have to pretend like I give a flying fuck. But we all know that a 17-year-old male with a nutsack filled so much testosterone that it's about to have a fucking aneurysm wants to do is bang this slut a few times until it's no longer exhilarating. So probably, instead of probably, this guy is on. This is the longest fucking hate rant I've ever read in my entire life. So probably like three times and then move on to the next. I hate this mentality that these potential cum dumpsters have, because that then once you fuck them and leave, they're going to cry about it for like the next century. So let me reread that sentence for everyone. I hate this mentality that these potential cum dumpsters have, because then once you fuck them and leave them, they're going to cry about it like for the rest of the century. So my big question is, what the fucking shit do I have to do to get these cunts to ride my dick without having a relationship and wasting my damn time? Thanks a lot. Hope you can help.
Well, for one, you should keep calling them cunts and cum dumps.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. That's exactly the way to their hearts.
Maybe stop talking like that kid in Santa Barbara who murdered all those people.
This is him writing from jail. Yeah. Or writing from the grave.
From the grave.
well... Well, listen, dude, welcome to the rest of your life where girls that you have sex with want relationships.
Yeah. And like, when, I mean, this is written, like parody. So I have to believe that this is not like,
you're not
like a sociopath.
Yeah. If this is how you're speaking, this is why you're not laid.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why you have your V card. Okay. But. We're going to assume that this is
mostly jokes.
Because I'm laughing at it. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's pretty funnily written. I can tell you that there's a...
He understands prose. He's got one thing going.
Yeah, your syntax is... I will tell you that there's a MILF stripper somewhere in South Carolina who will clean you, you can raw dog her.
Yeah, just, no condoms. What do you... I mean, I know... What he's saying is, fuck, I'm the only one left on this Virgin Island. Get me off of it. Here's the thing in high school. You think, like you said, every other 17-year-old male wants to fuck every chick he sees. That's never going to end, first of all. Second of all, there's only a couple girls that you have to choose from. You're not in a big university with 40,000 people.
And girls
you're not in
that
a big city
young,
with millions of people.
Yeah,
girls that young
are still trying to keep it until they meet this guy that they love. A lot of girls. I mean, and girls, I'm not saying that's what you have to do. If you want to have sex with somebody just to have sex and lose your virginity, go for it. But I'm saying from personal experience, from like what... There were some girls in my high school having sex, but they were mostly having sex with their boyfriend.
With their boy, yeah.
Nobody was like, let's just go out on a Saturday night and fuck. And because you get a reputation.
Totally.
High school is smaller than college.
And like, you get reputations for like the, we mentioned this on another podcast, but like you get reputation, like girls become sluts in high school because it's like, she let someone touch her tit.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, that's the cleanest girl I've ever thought of in my entire
life. She gave me a hand job. Yeah. Like, what a slut.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a, it's all overblown at that point in life. So,
and no offense to you, writer, but you don't seem like you'd keep a lid on things.
Yeah,
you know? I feel like you'd blog about it.
Yeah, he's going to tell everyone to listen to this podcast. Yeah. Please do. I would say this. You can't... I'll end on this advice for him. You got to crawl before you walk. Okay? So let's work on a girl that will like spend time with you. And what you said is exactly right. All the guys that I knew fucking in high school were with their girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or there was one dude that was just a stud. You know, obviously you're not the stud. So you got to work on the next level of dude, which is being the girlfriend guy or being available for that option.
Yeah.
Also, there's some good in that. You can practice with somebody. You don't have to be in this relationship for the rest of your lives. No one's saying that. These girls don't believe that. They do want a boyfriend, though, because, you know, everyone wants a relationship. It's normal. Crawl before you walk.
Yeah.
Let's try...
Try finding a girl that you think is cool that you want to date.
Yeah.
Don't let... You know, if somebody's cool, then you won't care about her boring fucking stories because you'll like them.
The high school sex partner, I will say this, should be someone that you can communicate with comfortably.
Yeah.
That's always a good example. Like, I mean, one of my good friends that I'm good friends with now, we had hooked up in high school... she would like walk me through sexual activities to teach me what girls like.
Oh, you had a tutor.
A little tutor. And I was, you know what? You know how appreciative I am for that today? Or how appreciative some ladies are for that today?
You better be sending her a Harry and David gift basket
yes,
this Christmas
and
Hanukkah.
Harry and David. Let's end on that. I like that. Kara, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
this was fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
At Kara Clank on Twitter. Go check her out. She's going to be on TV on Oxygen
Tuesday night.
Guys, we're gonna come back with the news in a second. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. keep spreading the word, keep sending those emails. We'll be back in 2 minutes with the news. Hey guys, welcome back. We are here with Kara Clank. Thank you, Kara, so much for answering the emails.
Yeah,
fantastic advice. I think we helped the youths of America.
Every little bit helps.
We helped a guy probably not lose his virginity ever. Mansamp from the booth, Chris the producer, thank you for coming down and bringing the news.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Find Kara on Twitter at Kara Clank, and you can find Chris on Twitter at Mansamp. He's also got a podcast, the Mandatory Samson Podcast, on Stand Up New York Labs Network. Go check that out. How's
thank
it going?
You. Yeah, it's going great. You were recently on it. It was a great episode.
Fun episode. Go check it out. Let's get into the news.
This first one, this is just a quick one. I thought it was funny. Georgia Tech, because it's homecoming or whatever it is, it's like rivalry week or something. Georgia Tech fans trolled Georgia students with website redirects, and I thought it was pretty funny.
What do you mean?
I just want to say one of my good friends, Zam, what's up, dude? He went to Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Georgia Tech.
Well, Georgia Tech beat.
They beat Georgia in the game.
Yeah.
Before that, they pranked the University of Georgia by redirecting. If you go to UGA grads, it would send you to the McDonald's career website. And if you went to Walmart Academy, it would send you to University of Georgia's homepage.
That's hilarious.
Awesome. And that's such like a tech school. Georgia. Yes. I think Georgia Tech is a pretty good school, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that's too funny.
I love when... you know what I watched 2 weeks ago? ESPN had a whole thing about... it was fucking great. Yale-Harvard plays every year their rivalry game. And... Mm-hmm. The Yale students dressed as Harvard boosters, and they gave out, you know, like when you go to a stadium and everyone, they give out signs, and like at halftime, you're going to raise up your sign.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on TV and it will say a big message. So they told them, it was going to like, we're going to put go Harvard. And it just, they lift up a sign and it just says across the whole stadium for like a half a minute, just says, we suck. That's I was like, this is the best ever.
So much advanced planning.
Yeah. That's the best pranks you need. Like, I feel like you need like an Ocean's 11 crew.
Yeah.
You know, like you need one smart.
You gotta
computer.
Have a guy that like hacks the mainframe. Yeah. Like, that's a serious move.
Like, I hear a prank like this and I'm like, I admire it in the way that I admire people who speak Mandarin.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll never fucking do that.
I don't follow football at all or really college football, but when I was home over the weekend, we were watching that Alabama versus Auburn game.
Oh, that's the biggest rivalry.
Yeah, and
rivalry
that's like the hugest
is.
Rivalry in the world I was hearing. And I heard that some fan of Alabama like poisoned Auburn's trees.
Yeah.
That's not a prank.
It was the guy. I
that's
think
a
went
tree
to jail.
Murder.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't this year. I think that happened last year, but it was a huge thing.
Yeah, that's like.
It's really
these
sad.
Other pranks are way funnier and no trees had to
die. Well, it's funny. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like this took ingenuity, smarts. If you look at the guy who killed the trees, he's like, I don't kill no trees. You know, he's like denying it on sports radio. Like, of course the sports radio caller is the guy who does the prank that you're like, oh, you fucking idiot. You stupid fuck. You ruined a thousand-year-old tree.
That's not even a prank. That's not a prank.
That's you're just vandalism of property.
Exactly, right. That's the thing. That's like when people like... It's actually a lesson for life. I hate when like you'll be in a fraternity and you'll see someone prank someone and you'll be like, oh, that was fucking great. That guy beached his room or thought of something or did something. And then they come back with something that's like a thousand times like more awful.
They like take a shit on your pool table.
You just ruined the felt, man.
Gross.
Yeah, like and then they're like, well, you got me. It's like, no. I got you with like a thought out, clever placed plan. And you came back with
you broke my windshield.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
You just were
set
a
your
douche?
Car on fire and like rolled it into the river.
Right. That's the thing when people are like, oh, like, and it goes back to jokes you make. People are like, oh, what's an offensive joke? Like a comedy we always see all the time when someone's like, you can't make jokes about this.
Yeah.
You can make a joke about anything as long as it's fucking
funny.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't matter.
Well, that must be like so frustrating if you're like the person getting pranked, right? And you're not a smart person or you're not a clever person and you're like, oh, that's so good. How do I get back at them? And you're like, I get kill his dog? I don't know what to do. Like, you can't think of anything because you're not clever.
Employ a smarter person than you. Go get some smart people. You know, you got a friend that's smart too. Go find them help you. But okay, let's go to the next story.
This next one's a really interesting one. I think we can have a good talk about this. This Georgetown University student is cool with being mugged because he's, quote, privileged. This guy, this is a strange one. This guy, Oliver Friedfeld, maybe he's a cousin.
Oh, my God. Oliver
you
Friedfeld.
You were a Friedfeld. You guys changed your name at Ellis Island.
I know this guy. We all know each other. All the Fried names.
Friedstein. Yeah, Friedstein. Friedenberg.
I know them all. Wait, also, Oliver Friedfeld? Is he a character in a Dickens novel?
Yeah, exactly.
Oliver. Oh, this guy already sounds like a pussy. Okay.
Well, this is really weird. So he got mugged at gunpoint on campus. And then I have just read the quote because then we can get into it. He says, this was in the student newspaper or whatever. He goes, "Not once did I consider our attackers to be, quote, bad people. I trust that they weren't trying to hurt me. In fact, if they knew me, I bet they'd think I was okay. The fact that these two kids, who appeared younger than I, have even had to entertain these questions suggests that our universes are light years away from mine. Who am I to stand from my perch of privilege, surrounded by million-dollar homes and paying for a $60,000 education, to condemn these young men as thugs? It's precisely this kind of otherization that fuels the problem." He goes on to say that the privileged adapt to normalize crime until the wrongs of the past are righted. He thinks it's okay, like we should accept crime because of all the shit that's gone on.
Dude, open season at Georgetown, everybody.
Yeah. They're just giving away cool money.
Go get it.
Yeah, this guy doesn't even, you don't even need a gun, apparently.
No.
I don't know. I hear where he's coming from.
Right.
What he's saying is, okay, I mean, he said it in a much douchier way. It sounds to me what he's saying is like, listen, he stole from me because he's in a position I can never understand. Which,
right.
Which is a reason, I think, not to be outraged, but it's not a reason to like welcome it.
Yeah, to accept crime at any level.
Yeah. You shouldn't be like, well, that's just, you know, I accept that and that's what I'm going to,
It is what it is. Yeah. No, you arrest these people and you hope that they learn a lesson from it. And you hope, you know, I think what he's saying doesn't go towards, well, just give them all your money. This is what happens with people that come from bad backgrounds. But you could put that in another way where you could say, well, no, let's bring them to justice, maybe in a different way that helps teach, you know, better, or puts them in a position that they can work their way out of it. You know, like, I think the concentration should be more on, let's put them in a position where maybe they can be successful later, instead of, you know what, then they just got to steal.
Right.
Steelers got to steal.
Yeah, you know, like, that mentality is going to bring us to riots and looting really quick.
Yeah, and I hate this whole privilege thing. I hate that thought of like...
Well, the thing that I thought of when I was reading it, it's like he's saying they robbed him because they're probably from a lesser stature than he is and whatever, and he's okay with that. But how would he explain then people that are in like the Bling Ring or something, these like rich Hollywood kids that go...
Yeah, or how about like white collar, those guys at Chase or JP Morgan that stole from everybody and ruined everyone's lives. Like, crime is not okay.
Crime,
it doesn't matter.
Right. Crime happens... Well, here's the thing. Crime happens across all specters of life in different ways. It's what you have access to. People will always cut corners. It's insane. You know, we live in a world of incentives. So if there's an incentive to do crime, then people will always do crime no matter where they come from. So you have to incentivize these people from doing it, which is punishment, which is, you know, going through, you know, giving them opportunities to do well and do
better.
It's
punishment or education or whatever
it is. I just hate this whole thought of like, everyone's like, well, you're white, got to deal with it.
What about
the
next kid that those guys go to rob who is white and who's walking around with a backpack and maybe he's on a full scholarship to Georgetown and has like $40 in his bank account and you just took it?
Or struggles and they kill him or something.
And this kid's just trying to sound... The thing that bothers me about it, the way he talks, is he's trying to sound smart and like above it all. No, dude, you're a fucking loser, just like everyone else that gets stolen from. You look like a loser, so they went up to you and they fucking stole from you.
You look like you wouldn't fight back.
Yeah, like you didn't have, you know, and you know, you, someone put a gun to your face, they should be fucking punished for that.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
like, we don't want to just say, well, I give up because I'm white and I was given a different life. You know, that's, you know, there's no such thing as white. I the whole white guilt thing bothers me. I don't think there's, like, I've never found a dollar on the ground and been like, oh, I can't believe someone else didn't get this dollar. You know,
just
like,
found one yesterday.
See, good for you.
Right.
You know, like, that's what I would
always
say. Hopefully I can find one tomorrow too. Let's go to the next story.
The next story is, this is actually from TSM.
Oh, Total Sorority Move.
Okay. New horrifying study shows your birth control is actually way less than 99% effective.
What?
Whoa.
Please do tell.
Yeah, it made me uncomfortable also.
Is it 98.9?
No, you wish.
My penis just went inside of me like a turtle.
Yeah. Put it away. Pay attention. It's important. Basically, they test the condoms or the birth control over a year period.
Okay.
The people that did this research at Princeton, they're like, that's not really accurate because more than likely you're going to be using condoms or birth control over a longer period. So they did a 10-year study on this stuff. And they said, if you don't get pregnant the first year, that's 99%. You're not going to.
Yeah.
But the odds increase over the course of the next year, the year after that. It compounds over time. So wait, so these are the like horrifying studies. Over a 10-year period with typical not perfect use, with perfect use, obviously it's like 3%, you're fine.
Yeah.
But
obviously
people are going to fuck up sometimes. 61 out of every 100 women on the pill will have an unexpected pregnancy over a 10-year period.
Oh my God.
What?
86 in 100 will get pregnant from condom use over a 10-year period. 92 out of 100 will get pregnant from pulling out over a 10-year period.
See, this is my theory. I think it's great. Only oral sex before marriage.
I've always said that.
I've always been a proponent of let's just stay in blowjob land as long as we can. I'll go down on you. You do me, I do you. And let's be happy with
it. No, the key to that story is perfect use, though. Just take it when you're supposed to freaking take it. I take it like I take it. You know, all you can fuck up a day, but I have never had a scare. Although my friend just got pregnant with an IUD. That's like an IUD is implanted in your uterus. Like you're not supposed to be able to get pregnant.
And you can feel those. Yeah, you ever feel?
When I fuck girls, I feel those. My dick hits up against it.
I felt it before.
I felt it, and I was fingering a girl once. Yep. And felt like I could do a pull up.
Wait,
the
with a
Nuva
ring or with the IUD?
It was like a hula hoop for my dick.
The
Nuva
ring.
The IUD I think is farther up there. That's literally like that sperm did a free willy jump.
Oh
like it's like medical journal shit to get pregnant
like you have an IUD.
Phelps
it's like when they type Morena when they're like I don't want to get pregnant but not now, like you put it in when you don't want to get pregnant for 5 years.
Really?
Like, it's really
why did the, why would a girl go for that version?
I think you're just like you just are. I think a lot of girls get it maybe like their mid-20s when they're like I don't want to have kids on like in my 30s.
And then you don't have to think about
and
it
and you never have to think about it. You don't have to take it out. You don't have to do anything.
I'm always so nervous of a girl when she's like I'm on the pill, like they're just so cavalier.
I'll never do that.
Whenever they're just like I'm on the pill and you're like wait a minute, why? I'm fucking nervous now, you know, like I don't think that this is, you know. I don't know why girls need to talk about being on the pill more.
Why? What do you
mean? I think it's like one of those things that's like you can like be like, yeah, I'm on the fucking pill and you ain't fucking me. Like it's a power move. You know, I'm out here and I'm saying no to you right now, so fuck it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's more power in that saying I'm on the pill than girls give credit to.
Yeah.
What's that alarm on my phone?
Yeah,
that's my pill time. For when I don't fuck you.
Baby stoppers. Yeah.
I will say this. It does say that they didn't study doubling up on protection. So you're wearing a condom. She has the pill.
Who does that?
You're in better shape.
I mean,
that's
the only thing that makes me feel good.
I just was like disgusted that somebody would do both.
That's what I'm talking about.
But
you're the attitude that I'm talking about where I'll be like, yeah, I don't have a condom. They'll be like, I'm on the pill.
I started taking the pill when I was in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
And I take it every day because I don't want to have a baby either.
Right.
Some of these girls that you're talking about sound like they're like, I wouldn't mind. I've got an extra bedroom and it's painted pink. Like,
Who needs it?
Well, pulling out would count. Like, you're on the pill, you're doing it, whatever, and then you pull out. That counts as two. You know, you're increasing your odds of not getting pregnant.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of
I have a friend who just told me that for 7 years, she's just been using the app that tells you like the days you're most likely to get pregnant.
Nah, that's a girl I'm never fucking.
And, well,
that is a girl that I'm like,
she's married and
I'm
pregnant right now. But, but for
I'm not
the
going by
years,
her abacus.
She was like, I just, exactly.
She also doesn't wear deodorant.
Like, what do you look at the moon?
Yeah.
And,
the waves aren't that big today because I can fuck.
Yeah.
No, I'm out on that girl.
She was like, then just those 3 days a month that I'm supposed to get pregnant or that I could get pregnant, we use a condom. And I'm like, I don't have sex. I'm like,
who's this rock star that she's fucking? That's like, who cares?
Well, now they're married and pregnant, so everything's fine.
Yeah, now life is over. Any more stories?
Yeah, I do actually have one more. It's heartbreaking. What stupid China did to this cute furry dog will have you strapping up your boots and ready for war.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
What yeah, get this? Ready for this. Casper, a good dog, enjoyed auditing classes at Northwest A&F University in northwestern China's Shaanxi province. He would routinely sit on lectures, and he would pick out a nice comfy seat before taking a nap when the topic of class bored him.
This is a Disney movie.
Yeah, where do you think? Well, yeah. A spokesman for the university confirmed that the dog, together with other stray dogs on the campus, had been killed, saying that they were a potential danger to the teachers and students, the spokesman said.
So they made this dog their mascot for the class, basically.
There's pictures of this fucking cute dog that would just hang out and like nap in class. And
they were all served at dinner.
Yeah,
it's such an easy joke to make.
Why are we shocked? Yeah, doesn't China eat horses? Yeah, like, I mean,
one of the students says it wasn't necessary to kill Casper. He would sit all day long in class, and he was hardly a threat to anyone. They were just embarrassed that he made them look unprofessional.
Dog fly lice is for dinner. Come and get your dog fly lice.
I can't tell like what it would be like if I was on a college tour and I went in and they were like, and this is Professor like Zhangzi, and he's a renowned scholar, and this is Casper.
This is how dumb
he's taking notes.
Oh, what did the dumbest person in China just sitting in class? That's like when they're like, yeah, you're gonna be in the, you know, in high school, did you have like levels for your classes?
Yeah.
Like you'd have like standard, honors, you know, like the level.
AP stuff.
AP. I was like, sometimes you'd be like, I don't think I'm good at math. And you'd be like, I'll just do the standard class. And you'd look in the class and you'd be like, oh, there's someone with an aide here.
There's like a girl who's had a stroke,
a dog.
Like a mom who's going back to school.
If I'm paying for this, my kid to go to college in China and there's a dog in the class, I'm like, okay, we are in bigger problems than we want to believe here. Well, this was a great...
So just to be clear... You're coming down on the side of the university. You think, cool, let's kill the dogs.
If
should have just put the dogs in the pound.
That one dog they could have let hang out.
Don't they kill babies?
If I'm in that class, I'm a little embarrassed to be in the dog class.
Right.
Where a dog is hypothetically listening. You know, like, that's the thing. In this country, we have such care for dogs that, like, even if I said, like,
could not get away with this.
Like, there are people that, like, when I don't pet a dog enough, they're like, oh, you don't like dogs? Like, no. Fucking relax.
This is a whole nother podcast. I could talk all day about how obsessed we are with dogs as a culture.
Yeah, we gotta relax.
It drives me crazy.
It's fine. They're cute, but they, you know.
I'm not a big dog person. It doesn't mean I want to kill or eat a dog.
Totally.
I'm not a big dog person.
People react.
Like, I just said that, you know, I worship the devil or something.
Yes, and if you say it, I think I once tried to do a joke about dogs on stage and people were offended.
Yeah.
You look at like Michael Vick, people still go off about Michael Vick. Ray Rice, we're like, whatever.
He made a mistake.
Yeah, we don't believe
dogs.
That woman. Right. Yeah, you know,
I do love dogs, but I will say these dog food commercials are just getting insane when they come on. It's like, you care about your dog, but why would you feed him gross like regular meat?
Like the dog.
This is organic salmon. Like, all right,
like the dogs
dying.
Like the dogs walking into the house and being like, ugh, they keep serving this crap here.
I prefer farm to table.
Yeah, like fuck everybody. That's how we'll end this podcast.
Well said.
Thank you so much for bringing the news at Man Samp. Go check out his podcast, the Mandatory Samson Podcast.
Thank you
on Stand Up New York Labs Network. Kara Klank, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks.
At Kara Klank on Twitter. Go check her out. Outstanding comic. I am Jared Fried. Keep sending those emails, tfmpodcast@gmail.com. You can find me on all platforms at jtrain56. We'll see you next week.